In a moment, transcribed, presenting Charles Boyer. As you face the realities of everyday life, the power to work miracles may not be in your hands, but it certainly is in your pockets. Through your contributions to the American Red Cross, miracles of mercy are performed every day. Give generously. Give gladly. Give through the American Red Cross. And now, presenting Charles Boyer.
Ooh, if the sea's sun is low,
hello, my dear. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir, monsieur. La da da di da da.
The National Broadcasting Company takes pleasure in presenting a new series starring Charles Boyer as Michel. If you ever visit Paris, you will undoubtedly bump into Michel. You might meet him in a dark bistro in the Latin Quarter, or at a reception at one of the embassies. On some days, he is to be found strolling stylishly in the Bois de Boulogne, and on others, in the little alleys of Montparnasse, with holes in the sleeves of his jacket. Wherever he is, whatever he's doing, Michel has one high purpose in life: to get 3 square meals a day. And he knows the good restaurants, too. This Mary Bowen, for example, is sitting in one of the best with his friend Bart Conway, the American writer.
Hey, Mr. Conway, you know, it is most unfortunate that eating a good meal is not like seeing a motion picture.
I suppose that is my cue to ask. Why is eating not like a motion picture, Michel?
Well, because if you like a picture, you can stay for the next performance and start all over again. But with a good meal, that's a pity. But now I admit, I only have a tiny bit of room left for... Now, let me see, for...
All right, Michel, I get the point. What will you have?
Tonight, I think I am in the mood for a very small glass of Cointreau.
Hey, waiter, some Cointreau for my guest and a brandy for me. And how, Michel?
Mr. Conway, do you believe in reincarnation?
I believe that the story you are about to tell me will reincarnate itself in the form of $200, which I will pay you, and in an enthusiastic acceptance letter from my publisher.
No, not that kind. Have you ever had the experience of encountering your own image, of meeting yourself in life form, face to face?
Oh, come now. Such things don't really happen, except in fairy stories.
Well, in a way, my story tonight is like a fairy story. You see, during a recent difficult summer, I was forced to secure my continued existence through a slight bit of deception.
A most unusual occurrence for you,
I'm sure. The part I assumed was unusual, Mr. Conway. For 3 whole months, I became Professor Michel Varenne at the University of the Sorbonne and a learned authority on art.
You mean you taught at the Sorbonne?
Oh, do you think I would do anything as unethical as that? Particularly when there would be so much danger of being found out? Not at all. I was a professor on vacation. And I had a very comfortable arrangement with the smaller hotels for Americans in Paris. A little bit of study in the library, a little memorizing, and I became a conductor of guided tours through the art treasures of Paris.
Such as the Louvre, you mean?
Of course, the Louvre. It was there that my story began. There was a particular picture, a rich and beautiful landscape with wonderful old trees, a little friendly pond, a cow cooling its feet in the water, soft clouds in the distance, and flowers. That was all. Each time we came to the painting, we met a little boy about 10 years old. His coat was too small and his shoes were too large, and he had more patches than pants. He would be standing in front of the picture, staring with deep intensity, not moving a muscle, not even breathing, it seemed. When we approached, he would frown with annoyance and move aside. When we left, he he would go back to the same spot and stand motionless as before.
How remarkable. Didn't he ever say anything?
He never spoke a word. Until one day, I approached a picture with a group of my tourists. He was there, as usual.
In this next picture, ladies and gentlemen, we have an excellent example of the so-called Barbizon School. It is by Theodore Rousseau. Not to be confused, of course, with Jean-Jacques, the great philosopher. Now, notice the heavy use of deep browns and reds, characteristic of this period. Sunset, the moment of sadness and regret.
Deep browns and reds, that's all he sees.
Now, this change to greater freedom of technique, to truer unity.
Truer unity. What about the picture, Professor? What's the matter with this country? The citizen can't even come to the Louvre anymore without being trampled on twice a day.
Well, we're very sorry if we interrupted your study of this lovely picture, little boy.
Little boy, what does she know?
How can you say such a thing, Dave? He's not a little boy.
You're wrong, mister. I am a boy. And I am little.
Well, I didn't really mean to...
Mr. and Mrs. Morrow, if you will allow me. Now, what's the trouble, Monsieur le Baron? Does my lecture offend you?
Yes, it does. Every time I hear it. What book did you read all that silly stuff in?
I am truly sorry, Monsieur le Duke. I will make every effort to change it to your taste.
So don't bother. Just finish it. And move someplace else, if you please.
I have finished, Monsieur le President. We will disturb you no longer. 1,000 pardons. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this way, if you please. And that was how I first established the social relationship with my little friend, Mr. Conway.
I would hardly call it an auspicious beginning. My inclination would have led me to a small act of violence.
And you would have been wrong. He was used to that. And he would have been a fair match for you.
But the way he talked...
To Mr. and Mrs. Morrow, yes, yes, I know. But behind that front of brass and nerve, there was something else, Mr. Conway. Something that disturbed me a great deal.
Oh, nonsense, Fisher.
No. What makes a boy like that always come back to the same picture? And what kind of a picture? A battle scene with sabers flashing? There are such pictures in the Louvre, you know. No. This boy chooses a peaceful, quiet landscape.
That's right. If I were a boy, I would have picked the other kind, the battle. As a matter of fact...
I know. You still prefer them.
Never mind about that. What about the boy?
Well, I couldn't get him out of my mind. I decided finally to pay him a visit at an hour when I knew he would be at the museum.
Oh, bonjour, General.
Oh, the professor. Here are your tourists.
Today, I am the tourist. And I have come to see you.
Me? What do you want with me?
Well, you criticized my lecture yesterday.
I have that right. This is a public building.
Granted. But I wish to discuss it further with you.
You don't really want to hear what I think.
Oh, but I do. I do. It is very important to me. Oh, excuse me. I believe we should introduce ourselves before we have our professional discussion.
I learned your name from the tourist, Professor Varenne. My name is Etienne Auguste Louis Baptiste Edouard Bosset.
6 feet of man and 4 feet of man. Etienne Auguste. Auguste is a fine name. It was the name of kings and emperors.
We have no king or emperor in France. This is a republic.
You are right. Tell me, Etienne, what do your parents call you?
I have no parents.
Oh. And what does one do in this city without parents?
One lives.
That's right, my friend. One lives somehow. It's not always easy, is it?
Sometimes it's very hard.
But, of course, with a family, it is easier. Hmm? With a grandmother or an aunt? An uncle, perhaps?
I wouldn't know.
Oh. Then you know the other things. Hunger, lonesomeness, and no place to sleep for the night.
Those things I know very well.
Now, tell me again. About the picture... What do you see there? I mean, what did I leave out?
Well, it's very quiet. If you sit very still, you can hear the bees buzzing around those flowers. Mm-hmm. If you want to pick the flowers, you can, because there are lots more. And that cow, it has a very soft skin and lets you touch it.
Have you ever touched a cow again?
I've never been outside of Paris.
Well, go on, tell me some more.
Oh, the water is pure and cold, and you can drink it. And in that tree, there are birds, and how they sing.
On the other side of the tree, there is a big stone that's like a chair. When you sit on it, you can see over that hill in the back, down into the valley.
And down in the valley, there's a house.
A beautiful house. And you live in it.
Yes, that's right. I live there. And on the other side, the house is a path that... Hey, how did you know? People like you can't see it. You have no right to know.
What do you mean I have no right? I have as much right as you, my friend.
You tricked me.
Well, of course I tricked you. You deserved it. Now you're going to listen to me. So you think I don't know about pictures like that? I know all about them. And I know about the places you sleep because I've slept in them myself. I'm acquainted with all the safe places to hide in this city. Places you never thought of because it takes a lot of experience.
You? A professor from the university?
So I fool you too. You, who should learn not to be fooled.
Hey, you're good. A professor, huh? Hey, that's a new one. Hey, wait a minute. Why should I believe you? What proof have you got?
All the proof in the world. Tell me. Have you slept at the Traveler's Hotel lately? For 5 cents a bed, or is it three?
Five.
Ah, then there is Bernard, the chef at the Périgord. He's good for a plate of hot soup if you don't come too often.
All right, that's enough. What do you want to see me about? I'm pretty busy these days, Mr.
The name is Michel. Well, I came to ask you not to spoil my little business with the tourists.
I'll agree to that, but you've got to keep them away from my picture.
On my honor. Etienne.
Yes, Michel?
When you're not so busy, maybe we can spend an evening together,
You know where to find me.
Well, of course, in front of the cow, in room G at the Louvre.
So, what you saw in the little boy, Michel, was yourself.
That is right, Mr. Conway. It was a very strange feeling. I wanted to do something for Etienne. I had to do something. Well, we met several times after that and talked, you know, shop talk about staying alive. I was very wise, that little old man. And he had the kind of sharpness and courage which no 10-year-old should ever need.
But what could you do for him?
Well, I didn't have a magic wand. I didn't have a million francs. But I did have Mr. and Mrs. Morrow.
You mean the couple he treated so badly in the museum?
The same. A week later, the Morrows rented my professorial services for a private tour to the Palace of Versailles. In the middle of the afternoon, we sat down to rest at a cafe.
You know, you'd think a country girl like me wouldn't get so tired from walking, but I must confess I've had enough for today.
You are from the country, Mrs. Morrow?
Well, not exactly, Professor Varenne. She was born and brought up within sight of the Brooklyn Bridge. But for the last 3 years, we have lived in the country because of my job.
Well, you see, Don is an engineer. He works for the New York City Water Supply System, and we live in a house owned by the city about 100 miles from Manhattan. It's part of the Ashokan Dam and the reservoir.
And it is in the country?
Oh, yes. More country than we can use.
Tell me, are there any cows?
Well, we don't have any, but there are lots of farms in the neighborhood, of course.
It must be a wonderful place for children.
It is. But we don't have any children.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
Oh, that's quite all right. We don't mind talking about it. We wanted a family very much, but it just didn't work out that way. This trip is a result, in a way. We're sort of spending the money we once hoped to spend on our child. It's not as lasting an effect, perhaps, but it's been very nice.
But forgive me for asking you, but have you ever thought of adopting a child?
Oh, of course we have. But, well, we've waited so long now.
You are still both very young.
I don't know about Don, Professor, but I always like to hear things like that.
Oh, you sure do.
Say, what about the rest of our tour? Shall we just pretend we saw the other wing of the palace and sneak out of it?
Well, of course. The palace is like a chicken. Both wings are always the same. Shall we go?
Yes.
And so I decided to become a matchmaker, Mr. Conway. My goal was to bring Etienne and the Morals together permanently. But Etienne had to be groomed for the post. I had to convert him from a man into a child.
It was not easy. Because in 10 years, Etienne had left his childhood far behind. But I finally talked him into going to the circus. But again, the best part is still coming.
Look at that juggler. Two bottles, two balls, and four hoops all in the air at the same time.
Oh, he's pretty good. Well, you should see my friend Antoine. Now, that's really something.
What about Antoine?
He works at department stores. Why, he can go down an aisle in the gallery Lafayette and walk out of the front door with 10 different things stuffed in his pocket. And you never see his hands move. They go so fast.
Oh, that's Antoine's specialty, eh? What about you, Etienne? Do you have a specialty, too?
You mean besides shoe shine, selling papers, and things like that?
Yes.
My specialty is throwing off the gendarmes when they are after my friends.
And how do you do that?
Well, there are lots of ways. Running between their legs, falling down in the street, and screaming with agony, making a noise
yes,
like...
Yes, of course, I had forgotten all that.
Hear you.
Oh,
he
can hear?
Oh, the fish in the sea are very smart. They can even read your thoughts, especially when you're thinking of supper.
Oh, it's yes. Your line.
What?
Your hook one. Put it in.
All right.
Oh, that's right. Open the bank now.
There.
Now we get the hook out. There. Oh, that's a beauty. Yeah. Bravo. 2 pounds at least. Now put it away quick.
Yes, Michelle.
What are you doing? Why are you hiding it in your shirt?
You just said...
I said put it away. Not hide it. That fish is yours. What's the matter with you, anyhow? Don't you trust anybody?
You can't yell at me like that.
Why shouldn't I yell at you? You don't even know when you're in the right.
I don't need you to tell me what to do.
You're right. You're right, my friend. I apologize.
Your apology is accepted.
Thank you.
They're made kind of strange, aren't they? Those big hind legs and the little ones in front.
Well, you know, now that depends on how you look at it. They live in a country with no mountains, and they have to get around fast and see far ahead at the same time. They wouldn't be much good in the water, like the seal. But then the seal would have a hard time in Australia. You see, every animal, including you and me, has to adapt himself to the country he lives in.
I think I know what you mean.
Of course. It's not as complicated as it seems.
What should we see now, Michelle?
Well, how about the monkeys?
Monkeys? All right. Let's see the monkeys.
Good. Now, let me see. Oh, I wonder which way we go. I don't see any signs. Oh, there is a gendarme. Go and ask him again.
Me? Talk to a gendarme?
Certainly. Why not?
I don't talk to gendarmes.
You don't? Well, that's very silly. Why shouldn't you talk to one of your servants?
My servant?
Well, of course. The gendarme is a public servant, isn't he?
Yes.
And you're part of the public, aren't you?
Suppose so.
All right, then, Mr. Public. Go up and ask the gendarme.
Monsieur le gendarme.
Yes, sir?
Which way to the monkeys, if you please?
The monkeys. You take that path there to the left, go past the lions, and you see them straight ahead.
Thank you very much.
If you hurry, you'll be in time for the feeding.
Oh, really? Thank you. Michelle, Michelle! It's to the left, and he said if we hurry, we'll be in time for the feeding.
Man, come on!
Here's a chimpanzee again. How do you like him?
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, would you let me through, please? Thank you. Thank you. Can't keep the little lady waiting for her food, you know.
Well, it appears that Mr. Chimpanzee is a lady.
He doesn't look it.
Well, bonjour, excuse me, and how are we today? Yes, yes, I know you're hungry. But first, we have to do some tricks for the people out there. We have to be polite. They came all
such a thing, sticking your tongue out at all those fine people. Oh, you make me so ashamed of you. I know what's the matter. You're mad because you haven't had your cigarette today. Well, here you are. Now maybe you'll be a little more pleasant. And now, my fine lady, here's your skirt and your hat. We'll have a little dance, and then we'll eat. All right, let me start the music.
Look at it. I see dirt.
Yes, I thought I'd never see anything like it.
That's all I know about him, Mr. and Mrs. Morrow. I wish I could tell you more, but you can judge for yourself when you see him. He's a very unusual boy.
But you haven't told him anything about your idea.
Oh, not a word.
Professor, you understand that our decision has to be the right one. If we fail at all, as I went to him, will not be happy with us or we with him.
Of course, Mr. Morrow. If the visit is not a success, well, you need only give me a sign and I will bring it to a close. Etienne will never know.
Thank you, Professor Varenne. You are very understanding.
Then I may bring it in here?
Oh, yes. At 4 o'clock tomorrow. Are you sure that you won't have any more pastry, Etienne?
No, thank you, Mrs. Morrow. I have had enough.
Your friend,
Michel.
Yes. Your friend Michel here has told us a lot of nice things about you.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow.
Well, you know, Etienne and I were at the zoo the other day. There was a most wonderful chimpanzee.
Oh, really? Well, tell us about it, Etienne.
Well, his name was Suzanne.
Suzanne?
I get all mixed up. You see, before the keeper came, we thought she was a he, but he wasn't.
Oh.
I mean...
And you should have seen the fish Etienne caught in the sand, Mr. Morrow.
Oh, really? How big was it?
Oh, it wasn't so big. Only 3 pounds.
Only 3 pounds? Why, that's a small whale.
All right, 2 pounds.
I guess we fishermen are the same the world over.
Oh, but that fish was something to boast about. None of the other fishermen around us caught anything that big.
But they weren't sitting next to Michelle. He just whispers to the fish, and they climb right on the hook.
You're very fond of your friend Michelle, aren't you?
Oh, yes. He's a very great mate.
Exaggerating about a fish, all right, but please, not about me.
But he is. I never had a friend like Michelle.
Why, a boy like you should have lots of friends. Isn't that true, Don?
That's right.
Tell me, Michelle, what is the English equivalent of Etienne?
Etienne, Mrs. Morrow, is Stephen.
Well, Etienne, 2 more minutes and we'll be on our way. Are you excited? Or is that a foolish question?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mr. and Mrs. Morrow, would you mind very much if I had just 2 minutes with Etienne?
Oh, no, of course not. We'll get in the train and wait for you there.
Good. The two of us will just stroll down the platform and wait. Etienne?
Yes, Michelle. Michelle.
No, not a word. Oh, I have a little present I'd like you to take along with you, my friend. Well, don't clutch it like that. Open it again.
It's the picture. It's the picture from the Louvre.
That's right. A small copy of it. Keep it with you so that if you ever need to, you can look at it and remember...
What, Michel?
That trust and love, my little friend, are more important than anything one can imagine.
Yes, Michel.
So, you worked another miracle, Michelle. What happened to Etienne? Did you ever hear from him?
Oh, very often. He has learned how to whisper to the fish in the reservoir, and he's now busy teaching Mr. Morrow the secret.
Good for him.
As a matter of fact, it was on the way to pick up a letter from a chain at the post office that I met him. Mysteriously crying, an extraordinarily beautiful lady from South America.
Go on, don't stop there.
But I'm afraid...
Well, what are you afraid of?
I'm afraid, Mr. Conway, that that is another story. And another $200.
Charles Boyer will soon be seen starring in Douglas Sirk's production, The First Legion. The role of Bart Conway is played by Herbert Butterfield. Also in the cast were Vivi Janis, Peter Leeds, Jeffrey Silver, Herb Vigran, Jack Crucian, and Margot Parr. Our show is directed by Nat Wolf. Tonight's script was written by David V. Robeson. Characters of Michelle and Bart Conway were created by Ernest Boydier and Clement Scott Gilbert. This program was transcribed. Listen again next week at this same time to Presenting Charles Boyer. John Stanley speaking.
This week, an anniversary is being celebrated. The birthday of a dream that became an actuality. Throughout America, prayers are being offered, for we have achieved a new landmark in world history and in the struggle for peace. The occasion is the fifth anniversary of the United Nations, October 24th, UN Day. It represents the triumph of organized action by the free peoples of the world, a triumph underscored by the United Nations' role in the Korean War. For all of us, the United Nations represents the most important instrument in the world for peace and freedom. If you cherish these things, then let your faith become an appeal to God when the bells sound on United Nations Day. If the world is worthy of peace, then peace is worthy of a prayer. Here's Sidney Greenstreet as Nero Wolfe tomorrow on NBC.